And at this time on our public affairs program, visiting with our friend Kelly Herbig, RN, with Callaway District Hospital's Senior Life Solutions Program. Kelly, it's great to see you. How have you been?
I've been good. Thank you for having me.
Good. Well, thank you very much for coming in. Kind of our topic will be about Suicide Prevention Awareness Month,
yes,
which is the month of September. But before we kind of get into that, if some folks have missed some of our previous visits with you, just give a little overview with the Senior Life Solutions program through Callaway Hospital.
Absolutely. So Senior Life Solutions is a mental health program for older adults. Most of our patients are 65 and over. It is a group and individual therapy program. We are located in, I think we have over 150 programs in around 40 states. And we partner with rural and critical access hospitals that have the greatest need and the least amount of resources. So that's what our program focuses on throughout the year. But for the awareness months, we try to reach out to all age groups and do things throughout the community. A couple of things that we're doing, we had a table at the health fair for Jenny Malham, and then we did a presentation for the high school students, and we're doing some other things out in the community as well. Our biggest event this year is going to be the Suicide Prevention and Awareness Walk. That'll be Wednesday the 18th from 5 to 6 o'clock in Callaway on the track.
Mm-hmm.
We did our first one last year, and we had a pretty good turnout, so we're planning this to be a little bit bigger and a little bit better. We're going to have some hot dogs and chips and snacks, and as well as some other literature and information about suicide prevention and awareness. And we're going to do a balloon release, and people can release a balloon if they would like to commemorate somebody that they've known and cared for that's died by suicide.
Yeah. Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. Suicide, let's be honest, Kelly, it's a topic that's not easy to talk about.
It is not.
But it's a topic that needs to be talked about.
That is correct. The more that we talk about it and take away the stigma, the more comfortable people are going to feel to reach out when they're in need of help. So, yes.
I was looking through some of the information that you've put together for our visit, and I think this is what caught me. Did you know that suicide is a leading cause of death?
It is.
In the United States?
It is a leading cause of death. In some popular, for example, teenagers up to age 24, it's the second leading cause of death. And 35 to 64, it is one of the six leading causes of death. It's higher in rural populations, and oddly enough, the people that are greatest at risk are men that are over the age of 85.
Mm.
They are usually the most successful if they do attempt suicide.
Mm-hmm.
The reasons for that is they tend to plan it very well. They tend to be from an age group that's very stoic, and they don't tell anybody. And if they happen to be alone or isolated, as they've lost people, as they age, they are least likely to be found in time.
Mm-hmm. Suicide is something, too, that it can affect all ages,
yes,
right?
There's
no age group that is immune to suicide,
it is
there?
There are certain pockets and populations that have a higher occurrence, but that is correct. It can affect any of us.
In the spirit of prevention, let's discuss a little bit what you can do if someone you love may be having thoughts of suicide and maybe just being in a position to where you can recognize some of the signs in case you feel
sure.
like someone needs help.
Well, first I'll talk real briefly about the National Suicide Prevention and Beyond has formulated a thing, and it's evidence-based, and it's the five be the ones. The first one is to be the one to ask.
Mm-hmm.
If you are suspecting somebody is having any symptoms of depression, anxiety, withdrawing, some of the things that we see are giving away possessions, change in mood and behavior, not keeping oneself up, anything that is suspicious, is just to ask them, are you having thoughts of harming yourself or having thoughts of suicide? With the stigma, you know, years ago, people were afraid to say it as if they would take someone who was in a depression and actually give them the idea to do it or to trigger them, but that is just a myth. So most people want help, and they want to be asked, and they want you know, they might not always do it outwardly, but deep down they're wanting someone to ask and be concerned. The next one is to be there if somebody is struggling with whether they're suicidal or not. If they're struggling with a severe depression or anxiety, just making sure that they know that somebody is there with them. The third one is to be the one to keep them safe. So when we have somebody in our program or in our community that is, we have an imminent fear that something will happen, we never leave them alone, making sure that somebody is with them at all times until that crisis is starting to pass. Number four is be the one to connect them. So once that immediate crisis is in a more stable place, making sure that we're connecting them with resources, whether it be counseling, whether it be taking them to a clinic or hospital, to make sure that they have made a connection with someone that can help them with their mental health. And the last one is to follow up. Mm-hmm. When people are we can just speak from our personal experience. When people are in our program and struggling, we make sure that even if they don't want to be in our, for example, if we get a referral and they don't want to be in our program for whatever reason, but we know there's an issue, is making sure that we're following up with them, following up with people after they've completed our program.
Mm-hmm. You talk about being able to ask the question and mm-hmm. approach somebody
yes.
if you see some warning signs.
Yes.
That takes a lot of courage, doesn't it?
It does.
But it's courage that is needed.
Yes, it does. And one of the things that we talked with the students today at the school, because it's hard to do as an adult. It's uh-huh. Sometimes it can be harder to do as a child or a young adult. If you don't know how to say it to that person, say it to somebody else. Say it to another adult,
uh-huh.
and so that somebody, even if it's a roundabout way, is reaching out to them. If you're not comfortable bringing that up,
yeah. You say in some of your notes here that the next way to get involved in helping prevent suicide is to know what steps to take in the event someone you may know may mm-hmm. be having thoughts of suicide. And mm-hmm. and that's where you talk about reaching out to mm-hmm. others. If you don't know how to deal with
yes.
it, but you see warning signs, there are plenty of people and plenty of programs that are out there to help.
Yes, there are. You know, and if it's an immediate danger, simply to call 911. All first responders have had some training in knowing what to do. We now have a national hotline. It used to be a long, complicated number that yeah. nobody would remember, but now we have 988, so mm-hmm. you can call or text that number if you are concerned for your own safety or concerned for the safety of someone who is with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that you want to talk about regarding this? I know we've kind of talked about different topics. We've talked about knowing some of the signs,
mm-hmm.
but just being aware of certain behaviors that
yeah.
someone is demonstrating can be a real tip-off, can it?
Yeah. Some people will come right out and say, I feel like ending it all. Mm. Some people will blatantly say it, but that doesn't always happen. But if they're talking about it, but people that are having feelings of hopelessness where they just don't see an end, people that are having chronic pain, whether it be emotional or physical pain, will feel that way. You know, other factors when we do screenings are, you know, do they have, are there financial issues that mm-hmm. are just overwhelming, legal issues, people who are about to be incarcerated, you know, huge things like that. But changes in behavior and appetite, eating too much, eating too little, sleeping too much, sleeping too little. And, you know, we all have bad days
yeah.
where you have a bad day and, you know, you have a bad mood. That's normal. But when those moods are not passing, or if they're extreme highs and lows.
When it comes to suicide, in your experience of having to deal with this, and I know you have, in most cases, is it something that just continues to build, or are there some cases where it just comes upon very
yeah.
quickly? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Not to say it's never very quickly, but yeah. it typically is something that is building
uh-huh.
over time. When we look for those signs, unfortunately, some people, those signs are very blatant,
mm-hmm.
and other people, as we discussed, you know, men over the age of 85, there are times that people tell absolutely nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we work with our survivors, the family members that have survived, is helping them to understand, you know, that it's natural to have guilt if you feel like you missed something, mm-hmm. but sometimes there are no signs, and sometimes there are signs that are that are there, yeah. and easier to read.
I'm glad you bring that up, because that was another question mm-hmm. going through my mind. It's the survivors mm-hmm. of people that they know and that they love,
yes.
who have committed suicide. That's something else that needs to be
yes.
dealt with, isn't it?
And when I am glad you brought that up, because some of the people that attend our walk mm-hmm. are people that have lost somebody, because that loss, not only does that loss never go away, but the events that surrounding it mm-hmm. did, and it does leave a scar yeah. on them as well.
Yeah. Let's remind everybody of your walk
okay.
that is coming up on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's going to be at the Callaway Track,
mm-hmm.
and
track.
It starts when again?
It's Wednesday the 18th from 5 to 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. And we remind people, too, you don't have to walk. You know, you can come
yeah.
out and get a hot dog and a snack and visit with everybody and sign in and see our booth, but don't feel like you have to walk.
Yeah. If people have questions and about what we've talked about here yeah. today, and they're like, you know what, I would like to talk to Kelly, or I'd like to find out more about Senior Life Solutions, how can they go about that?
Yes, absolutely. Our number is 308-836-2153, and we do follow up with anybody who inquires about mental health. If it's not something that we can help them with, we make sure we have other resources that we try to connect them with.
Anything else that you want to mention that maybe we haven't talked about yet during our time?
I think we covered everything on
Good.
My list.
All right. Well, we invite everyone out to participate in the walk. And again, reach out if you have questions or if you see someone that's talking about some of the signs we've talked about, have the courage to approach them or get help, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Kelly, thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your time.
Kelly Herbig with Senior Life Solutions through the Callaway District Hospital, our guest on today's edition of Public Affairs.